think that you're going to find this program to be very informative. Did you know that in the United States alone, that 54% of all their adults are heavier than what is healthy? That's over 90 million people, and 25% of their kids are overweight. So health and feeling better is certainly a concern. What are some of the benefits of regular physical activity? The Surgeon General lists a slew of them. It reduces the risk of dying prematurely, the risks of dying from heart attacks, reduces the risk of high blood pressure, reduces the feelings of depression and anxiety, helps control weight, promotes psychological well-being, just to name a few. Now, not to bore you, but real briefly, let me share with you how I got started in exercise and fitness. Like most teenage boys, I lifted weights, and like most teenage boys, I didn't do it for long. The next time I started working out was after a divorce, and that exercise program didn't last much longer. Nearly 15 years had gone by since starting an exercise program again. That's way too long. Anyway, over those years, I had developed the attitude that if I started something, I want to make sure that I follow through with it. I didn't want to end up as one of those statistics of people who start something and stop and start and stop. I knew whenever I started the exercise program, I would plan to stick with it. I unfortunately didn't adjust my lifestyle earlier to do that, but I guess that's water under the bridge, so I made it a goal to start my fitness program. Anyway, enough about that. So to get started, let's address the question, how can I stay motivated with an exercise program? Let's even go a step before that. For some, it's not how I can stay motivated with an exercise program, but it's how can I even get motivated to start one? My answer will address both questions. You may already know that I'm an avid aviation fan, and when I started to learn to fly helicopters, there was a law that they taught me. It's called the law of inertia. One of the laws of inertia state that things that move want to keep moving. Now let me repeat that one more time, and I would really like you to remember it and repeat it with me. You ready? Things that move want to keep moving. Now let's study that law for just a moment. Note that it doesn't say how fast they have to move, if they have to move fast or even slow for that matter. It simply says what? Say it again with me. Things that move want to keep moving. So then what would be the opposite of this? Things that stop want to stay stopped. It was this law of inertia that started my quote-unquote obsession with working out even though I hadn't worked out in 15 years. Now that we know the law, let's talk about how we can apply it to stay motivated. What I'm about to share with you will sound really crazy, if not ridiculous, but I think you will see how understanding this law of inertia helped me and how it will help you too. Now, up till this point, I haven't exercised in about 15 years, so I mentally commit to starting an exercise program on what famous day? Oh, the same day that everybody starts their exercise program and their diet, the famous Monday. Okay, it's Monday morning. I put on my workout clothes, I tighten my shoelaces, I stretch a little bit, and the first exercise that I'm going to do is the push-up. So I get on the floor and begin. Down and then up. Okay, that's one push-up. That was it, folks. I chose only to do one push-up. That was the end of my workout. Now, I know that sounds perhaps very silly, but let's look at it psychologically. Keep in mind that I haven't worked out in nearly 15 years, so I finished up with one push-up on Monday morning, then I go to work, come back home, ready for bed, plan the workout or exercise program for Tuesday morning. Now, as I am in bed that evening, Monday evening, thinking about exercising tomorrow, do you think I'm saying, oh boy, I've got to get up and exercise the next morning? Of course not. I only did one stupid push-up. But that's the point. How can I create a bad or a negative association to working out if I'm only doing one push-up? The point here is the law of inertia said what? Remember it? Things that move want to keep moving. It didn't say they had to move fast. They just had to move. As long as I moved one push-up, I would want to keep moving. It's when we create negative associations in our minds, that's what prevents us from enjoying the process. Now, if I had started that Monday morning and I worked out for the first time for, say, 1 hour and I sweated and I puffed, and then I woke up the next morning real sore and whipped, I am not going to want to put myself through that again until my value for exercising outweighs this negative association. For those of you who have been working out for months or years, you too have to keep positive associations to your exercising. Here's what I mean. See if this has happened to you. You start working out, or maybe you have been, and you have certain expectations as to how much muscle you want to build or how much weight you want to lose. So you wake up one morning, you look at yourself, and you get on that scale, and it's not at all what you'd hoped for. And you've been working so hard to try to get these results. Now you're a little bummed out. A negative association has now set in. Now, subconsciously, if you're not careful, you're going to start saying, all this work, so little results. But now let's say I give you a 10-minute workout that was extremely hard, but you woke up the next morning with tons of muscle or lost a slew of weight, whatever your goal was. Would you do that 10-minute workout again? Absolutely. Why? Because of the immediate or positive association. 10-minute workout, lose all that weight or gain all that muscle. 10-minute workout, get all these results. Well, let me tell you up front, sorry, no, I don't have that magical 10-minute workout, and neither does anyone else. But the point here, though, is that anytime you feel less motivated to exercise, it is because something in your mind probably started to create a negative association. Maybe you're not losing the weight as fast as you want or building the muscles as fast as you would like. So, well, now what? How do I pick up my feet and stay on track? The answer is we have to change the association. It's a mind game. When in a negative frame of mind, it must be your goal to change the association. Now, here are some ways how we can do that. You might want to keep a log of your measurements. If you're lifting weights, write down the weight of what you're lifting. Keep a track of your body weight. Now, when I measure myself, if I don't see an increase in muscle like I want, if I start to get a little down, I go right to my log of measurements to see what they were when I first started. I look at the whole picture. Now I feel a little bit better. I also look at how much weight I started lifting, and then I can really feel better from that because sometimes the weights have actually doubled or even tripled. But there is a caution here, though. There can, if we're not careful, we can develop some negative side effects because we're keeping logs, and we don't want to do that, but it can happen. It can cause you to feel that you're really not making a lot of progress very quickly. It's not going to be an overnight thing. Again, we have to look at the long term, but by all means, we do want to keep a log. So write down things like your measurements or how long you plan to walk or run or exercise. Keep a track of things. And again, try not to get too discouraged if you don't see the results as quick as you would like to. Now remember, the key to doing one push-up or whatever the exercise is to start creating a habit or pattern. How hard can it be to find time to walk for 1 minute or to do one simple exercise? After a few days or less of this, you'll realize that, you know what? This really isn't that bad. I'll start doing more. Always keep in mind, whatever you love, you can hate. And whatever you hate, you can love. Exercising is no different. So keep in mind, the main purpose of this one push-up or this 30-second walk or exercise is not for the exercise value. It's to help you design and create a positive association to exercising. And that, of course, will help you continue with your exercising routine. Another way to stay motivated is to associate with people with like interests. Read magazines about fitness. Get a subscription to a fitness magazine. Watch videos. Tell others about your new interest. Share your goals with others. Listen to tapes like this and do it often. Feed the mind and, yes, even regularly take photographs of yourself. When I started my program, one of my motives were, of course, of a physical nature. But as I learned more about the body, I became more motivated from a health point of view also. For example, a man in good condition will have a heartbeat of about 60 beats per minute at rest. A man who doesn't exercise will have a heartbeat of about 80 beats per minute or more. This means that the man who is not exercising forces his heart to beat over 30,000 times more in just one day. That's a big number. Learning things like this scares me and gives me more reasons or more motivation to stay healthy and exercise. I want to really keep my heart healthy. The time to take care of yourself is not when the doctor has told you, if you don't exercise, you're going to die. So let's conclude with some high points on how to stay motivated. Your goal is to get to the point where you know exercise will simply be a way of life forever. Remember that when you don't feel like working out or exercising, it is simply because you have temporarily created a negative association. You must learn how to identify that when it happens. And it's really easy. It's just simply when you don't feel like exercising. Once you have identified these times, stop and try to figure out a way that you can change the association. Maybe you're working out too fast, too much, too quick. Maybe you need to back off a little bit so you don't associate so much pain mentally or physically to your exercise routine. What motivates you may not motivate me, so keep looking for ways to keep yourself motivated. It also wouldn't hurt to write down what these tools are that you're going to use to keep you motivated so you can constantly identify them. Here's a question that I'm often asked. Why is it that when people start a diet program, sometime after they conclude it, maybe several months later, they gain their weight back and then even more? The reason that this happens is because most people will get on a fad diet or some named weight loss program, and more often than not, the diet really isn't a good one. Oh yeah, you might lose a lot of weight, but you will also lose a lot of lean mass. The more muscle mass a person has, the more calories they burn. And many of these diets are not designed to help the person keep their muscle. So weight is lost, and so is muscle tissue. Then the person balloons back up, has less muscle mass than before, so now they can't burn as many calories as they could when they were overweight. So they actually get back to their original weight and add more weight because of the loss of muscle that they had happened to them during that diet. Loss of muscle means less calories being burned, and that in turn means more fat. The consensus in the world of health and fitness seems to be to eat 5 or 6 meals a day, and I would certainly agree with that, but let's take some time and discuss it further. Now, if you're not eating 5 or 6 meals a day, you're probably thinking, hey, wait a minute, that would be crazy. We conjure up in our mind cooking and slaving in the kitchen to cook 6 meals a day, or stopping 6 times a day for a meal. You'd never be able to get any work done. It's not as bad as it sounds. First of all, when we say 5 meals or 6 meals a day, what we're really saying is consuming foods 5 or 6 times a day. 3 of the 5 or 6 meals are true meals, you know, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. The other meals are supplement meals that may consist of a protein bar, protein shakes, fruits and nuts and the like. Now, for starters, let's go over the wisdom of eating 5 or 6 meals a day. Wouldn't it be nice to have a lot of energy all day long? Not just some energy here and a little there, or perhaps you're prone to mood swings. Here is how eating more meals in a day helps out. When you eat regularly, you are assisting in balancing your blood sugar. Why is that important? One reason is that an imbalance in blood sugar levels can cause severe mood swings and energy swings. Ever know someone to get really grumpy before they eat a meal, and once they have that meal, they're fine? Maybe you know that person personally. Eating small amounts regularly throughout the day stabilizes our sugar level and emotions and moods. It is a fact that certain foods give us energy while others don't. By knowing what foods to eat and at what times, which we're going to discuss later on, we can actually help in maintaining a high energy level all day long. Starting to make sense, isn't it? So to lose weight, we don't have to starve ourselves. I was able to lose about 6 inches off my waist alone in about 5 weeks and lose about 24 or 25 pounds of body fat shortly thereafter. And it was nice that I didn't have to starve myself to do it. So here is the rule of thumb to go by when it comes to knowing how much to eat. Now we're going to go into the actual details later. But think about this. You want to eat like a king for breakfast, a prince for lunch, and a pauper for dinner. Now repeat that with me. Eat like a who for breakfast, a king for breakfast, a prince for lunch, and a pauper for dinner. Now let's talk about this further. Now for most people, it's just the opposite. Breakfast is many times next to nothing, or at best, coffee and donuts. Fast food for lunch, if anything at all. And dinner, that's usually a different story. That's when people figure, you know, hey, I'm working all day long and hard. I'm going to sit down and eat a big meal and pack it in. Then soon after that, they go to bed, they don't burn any calories hardly, and then they wonder why they're overweight. Now let me share with you also another great reason why or how eating 5 or 6 meals a day can really help you lose weight. It's what I call the hibernation mode. Think of a bear in the wintertime. They will hibernate for months without hunting or really eating. How do they do that? They store fat for energy. The opposite of what you and I want to do. But here's how you hibernate, if you will. If you only eat 3 meals a day, here's what's going to happen. Let's say you have just finished lunch, and it's about, say, maybe noon. And now you're not going to eat till, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. That's a long time to wait to eat again. So the body says, whoa, you know, you're going to starve me for all this time? I've got to wait 5 or 6 or 8 hours before I eat again? Okay, start to hibernate. So the body will actually store fat so it can plan to use it for possible energy later. Then, it's time to eat. No need to release that fat that's been stored because you're going to eat now, 6 or 8 hours later. The fat has already been stored, and on top of that, you're going to eat again. Now, if you're eating regularly, your body doesn't get conditioned to go into that hibernation mode because it knows it's going to eat something every 2 or 3 hours. So now there's no need to store fat for energy. How about that? Eating more actually can help you lose weight. Well, we don't want to stop here, so let's keep going. I think it's also important that we know how many calories that we should be consuming in a day. Now, let me start off by warning you right now, there are a number of ways to do this. You will have to experiment and see what works best for you. I will at least show you the principles on how to figure this all out, and you can plug in your own numbers according to your goals. This way, you can design a program for you. Now, I could literally make a 6 or 8 hour program on this subject alone. You can get really deep into this, too deep, so let's just keep it simple. What I'd like you to do is go ahead and open up your packet, and in your packet, you will see where it says nutrition plan. You got that? Now, step one is to figure out how many calories you need to consume in a day. Now, to effectively answer this question, you need to know what your goal is. Obviously, the more active you are, the more calories your body will usually need. I'll give you 3 categories to choose from. The first goal is to lose body fat. The second is to gain muscle and lose body fat. And the third is to just gain muscle. Now, the first thing that you have to do for step one is to figure out your weight. Now, as you can see from my sample here, I'm using the body weight of 200 pounds. Note in my example under step one that I have multiplied the body weight of 200 pounds times 10. For this example, I'll make it a goal to lose body fat only, and I have chosen the number 10 to simplify things. So I then multiply 200 pounds times 10, and the answer is 2,000. So I need to take in 2,000 calories a day, according to these figures. Okay, let's go to step two. The next thing is to understand that our caloric intake will come from 3 categories: unsaturated fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. For this example, I'm going to encourage you to take 20% of your calories from fat, 40% from proteins, and the other 40% from carbohydrates. Here is where you can get so confused. You'll hear one day one diet says, oh, you've got to have high protein, no carbohydrates, no fat, low protein. It's enough to drive you crazy and confuse you so much that you don't know which way to turn, and that can discourage you and really make you want to quit. So really listen up if you're sick and tired of being confused like I was. For this nutrition program, as I mentioned, we'll use the ratio of 20% of our diet or calories are coming from unsaturated fats, 40% proteins, and 40% carbohydrates. The next thing to do is to try this ratio for your diet for a few weeks or more. If you're not getting the results that you want, then change to another ratio. You must use what works for you. This will prevent you from saying, well, this book says this and that one says yes, what do I do? Learn the principles of how to design your own diet. This is what I want you to get out of this segment. And by the way, you won't be spending much time counting calories all day long, I promise. That can take longer than eating the meal itself. Now, some people use different ratios. A bodybuilder, for instance, might use 10% fat, 30% carbohydrates, or 60% carbohydrates, and maybe 30% proteins. My suggestion is to just start off with this: 20%, 40, and 40. Try it for a while and then make adjustments. There is no perfect plan. We are all different. Now, no matter what numbers you choose to use, this sample will show you how to figure it out. Now, we're still at step two. Meet me again at step two in your nutrition plan. We now simply take the daily caloric intake of 2,000 calories times 0.20 for the 20% fat. And that figure is 400. So then, out of the 2,000 calories that you would need in a day, 400 of them need to be calories from fat. Next is to multiply the 2,000 calories that we're going to take in a day by 0.40, because 40% of the 2,000 calories need to be from protein. And that answer is 800. So out of the 2,000 calories a day, how many of those need to be from protein? That's right, 800. Now do the same for carbohydrates. 2,000 times 0.40 gives us 800 calories of carbohydrates need to be consumed from those 2,000 total calories that we're going to take in a day. See, it's not that difficult to figure out, is it? Let's go to step three, which is just a little more complicated. For step three, we have to convert calories to grams. Why? When you look at the nutrition labels on foods, the carbohydrates and fats and the proteins are in grams. So you need to know that there are 4 calories per 1 gram of protein, 4 calories per 1 gram of carbohydrates, and for 1 gram of fat, there are 9 calories. Big jump there, isn't it? Follow me now at step three. In our example of a 2,000 calorie a day diet, we have 400 calories coming from fat, 800 calories coming from proteins, and 800 from carbohydrates. Now we take the 400 calories from fat and divide that by 9 calories per gram, and that gives us 44.4 grams. Let's say we round that off to just 44 grams. Then 4 calories per gram divided into 800 calories of protein, and that gives us 200 grams of protein. Last but not least, 4 calories of carbohydrates per gram divided into 800 calories of carbs or carbohydrates, and that answer is 200 grams. So step three has told us that we need to consume 44 grams of fat, 200 grams of proteins, and 200 grams of carbohydrates per day. Our final example, step four. Now what we need to do is figure out how many of each fats, proteins, and carbohydrates we need per meal. Don't let this overwhelm you. You're not going to be doing this every single day. I want you to understand the principles of this and help you understand what we're really eating and what we need to eat. We will base this on a 5-meal-a-day diet. So all we need to do is divide 5 into 44 grams of fat, and that gives us 8.8. So we'll say 9 grams of fat per meal. Divide 5 into 200 grams of protein, which gives us 40 grams of protein per meal. Divide 5 for the 5 meals into 200 grams of carbohydrates, and that gives us 40 grams of carbohydrates per meal. Well, I'm sure you understand this now. What I would like you to do is figure out your caloric intake per day according to your goals. So why don't you go ahead and stop this program and do that now? Well, how'd you do? I'm sure you've got it figured out. So obviously, if we're eating 2,000 calories a day, that means 5 400-calorie meals if we're eating 5 meals a day, right? Well, maybe not. Hang on to your seat here. Now, many people in health and fitness will tell you to figure it out this way, but we have to do this a little smarter. Let me elaborate. In general, do you think that most people are more physically active in the day or at night? Well, I think most of us would agree it would be in the day. So let's look at it logically. We all know that the more active we are, the more what we burn. Right, the more calories we burn. So then, if we know that we're going to be less active at night than in the day, wouldn't it make sense to increase the caloric intake before our active times and decrease them for less active times? So in this scenario, even though our average caloric intake would average 400 calories per meal, we may need 500 calories for our lunch because we're planning to be more active in the afternoon, and instead of 400 calories for dinner, we might adjust it to 300 calories due to the fact that we're going to be less active. Additionally, there may be certain days of the week that you're going to be a lot less active, so you might consider taking in less than the normal 2,000 calories per day, and then perhaps a little more on real active days. Perhaps you could let the mirror and your scale help decide some of that for you. Also, don't forget to adjust your caloric intake as you lose weight. Keep in mind, too, that if your goal is to lose weight, you should only lose about maybe 2 or so pounds a week. Don't rush it and don't do it quickly. If you do it too quickly, you might end up losing that important lean muscle. You don't want to do that. To accomplish this, you might consider reducing your caloric intake by about 500 calories per day. This should allow you to lose about 2 pounds a week if you're including some form of activity such as aerobic exercising or maybe some form of weight training. Now, one final thought here. When you look at those food labels to see how many grams of this or how many grams of that is in this package of food that you're buying, don't get hooked in by the words fat-free, low-fat, or non-fat. Remember that carbohydrates convert into fat and so does sugar. So you can buy a product that has a big flag waving at you that says non-fat, but is full of sugar or carbohydrates, which in turn converts to what? That's right, converts to fat. Remember, sugar and carbohydrates equal fat. So if you really want to lose weight, you want to back off especially on that sugar. So with a little experience, you will learn how to adjust your diet. And don't feel you have to weigh all your food and jot every calorie down for life. That would take all the fun out of it. When I got into all this, I did that so I could understand what and when I put certain foods into my body, how they would respond. Once I learned how my body responded, I no longer needed to be so time conscious about counting calories. If after a week or so I didn't lose any weight and I stayed the same, then that would be my maintenance diet. That particular diet maintained my weight. The next week I'd make another adjustment and I'd go from there. I would recommend that you at the very least count your calories, your fats, your proteins, and your carbohydrates for what your normal diet is right now. Try to do that maybe for just about 3 days or so. You might be very, very surprised as to what the percentages of the foods that you're eating with regards to, you know, your fats and your proteins and carbohydrates. Then change your caloric intake to fit your goals. Then you might consider counting the calories again in a few months just to see that you're on track. I've spoken to many of the top world athletes, and many of them don't even take time to count their calories because they did it years ago and they know what to eat and how much. So invest the time now, just a little bit, to figure this all out, and you won't have to waste time counting calories again later. Now, since we're on the subject of food, let's discuss some foods that are good to eat and how to create a positive association to healthy foods. For starters, how do you know if you have a negative association to eating right or to eating healthy foods? Well, let's do a simple exercise to find out. In just a moment, I'm going to mention a certain food to you, and then I want you to identify your reaction. I want you now to relax your facial muscles and put on a nice, relaxed smile. You got it? Okay, hold that smile. Now I'm going to mention a food to you and see what happens. Ready? Keep that smile. Eat egg whites. What happened? If you're like most people, you probably lost that smile. If you did, and if you've never eaten them, you definitely have a negative association to egg whites. Most people do. So now what? The next step here would be to try to get you to change your association. Now hold on. I'm not saying that you have to eat egg whites. Let me first explain why you might consider it and then show you how to simply change from a negative to a positive association. Egg whites have no fat. They're very high in protein and amino acids, which are needed for tissue repair if someone especially wants to assist themselves in building muscle. It's good for you even if you don't want to build muscle. Okay, you say, that sounds great, but egg whites? How gross. That was my first thought too, but let me share with you a simple philosophy. If you know that a certain food is beneficial for you and it tastes bad or you perceive it to taste bad, what can you do to make it taste better? Well, you would simply doctor it up. You know, boy, when we think egg whites, oh, yuck. Maybe in our minds we think of, you know, how they used to in the movies, they would drink the raw egg or some weird idea or negative association. Let me share with you how I changed my negative association to egg whites. I simply made them taste good. It's that simple. So I eat about, anywhere from 8 to 10 egg whites every morning, and I include one yolk with it. I add some pepper and salt, maybe some scallions, a little bit of cheese once in a while. I'll scramble them up, and then I'll cook them. Now, I don't stop there. Once I put them on my plate, I'll pour a little salsa on the side, and the salsa will also give them a nice flavor. And then I'll have two pieces of toast with that. Now, when I'm done with that meal, I can tell you I am stuffed. It also helps repair muscle tissue for muscle growth and only has about 5 grams of fat because of the one yolk that I put in with it. Huh, not bad at all for such a big meal. Try it. You remember, Mikey? You might like it. Now, if I have a speaking engagement in the morning or all day, sometimes I add raw oats with soy milk to my meal, which gives me a lot of carbohydrates for energy, and that's the energy that I'm going to use up while I'm speaking.
Now, the raw oats and the soy milk is one that you'll really have to acquire a taste for.
So if you turned your face on that one, okay, I understand. So when people hear the word health food, most people think of food that tastes bland or really bad. Haven't you ever had junk food that tastes bad? Sure you have. I'll be the first to agree that some health foods taste terrible, but not all. Find the foods that taste good or doctor them up a bit, just like you would doctor up any meal if you wanted to have a lot of flavor. A steak, if it's not marinated or seasoned, doesn't taste that great either. Earlier in the program, we discussed about the 5 or 6 meals that we should have a day, and we talked about having one of those meals maybe being a supplement meal, like a protein shake. So what about protein shakes? For some, that sounds terrible, but I make some that taste literally like a pina colada. And when my wife and I got into drinking protein shakes, we experimented and we experimented and we experimented until we came up with the most flavorful tastes and tastes that we really enjoyed.
I make most of my protein shakes with whey. That's W-H-E-Y. Now, whey is a milk co-product that's obtained during the cheese production process, and it's a great form of protein.
Try to get what's known as CFM whey or engineered whey. CFM means cross-flow microfiltration. It's the purest form of whey you can buy. Protein shakes can be one of your 5 or 6 meals that we discussed earlier. What about protein bars? I recently pulled out a protein bar when I was with a friend of mine, and she said they taste disgusting. She went on to tell me how a co-worker gave her a bite of one, and she had to spit it out. Now, that doesn't convince me that protein bars all taste bad. That just convinced me that the one she had may have tasted bad. I gave her a taste of one of mine, and she loved it. How did I know she would? Because I have tasted just about every protein bar out there, and many of them do taste terrible. So I tested and tested and tasted and tasted, and I'm like everybody else. I like to eat things that taste good. So I would buy a protein bar, taste it, and if it was yuck, throw it away. Some of them I could only take one bite, then I'd have to throw the rest away. So just as much as some non-health foods taste bad, so do some health foods. It certainly doesn't mean that the entire category of health foods taste bad. If you know it's good for you and you should be eating it, then doctor it up till it tastes right or keep looking for the right brand or the right seasoning that pleases your palate. Now, protein bars and shakes are really good if you're always on the go. They can taste just as good as your best candy bar. Yes, you might have to pay a little bit more for it, but I would rather pay the health store or the grocer than pay the doctor or the hospital. It's a lot cheaper than a heart attack. Let's talk a little bit more about losing that fat. I think most of us would agree that exercise is one of the best ways to do that effectively. Resistance training and weight training is really the best way to accomplish this, especially if you really want to lose that fat, because by resistance training or weight training, you're also going to be able to keep that muscle. Without resistance training or weight training, you're going to lose the fat and that precious muscle. It stands to reason that if we're going to work out or exercise and one of our goals is to lose weight, then we should make every heartbeat and every drop of sweat count. So here is the scenario. You want to lose weight and you are utilizing weight training and proper diet to accomplish this. You get to the gym or workout at home and you don't seem to have enough energy to finish a decent workout. First of all, let's address the lack of energy to get through a workout, and second, we'll talk about a way that may increase our odds in losing weight during that workout. Now, carbohydrates are known to give us energy. Many people will eat foods that are high in carbohydrates about an hour or so before they work out. It certainly works for me. But here's where it gets scientific and really interesting. Now, one might ask, what kinds of foods are best for this? Before I answer that, let me explain to you what the glycemic index is. The glycemic index rates carbohydrates as to how fast they convert to glucose. That's the form of sugar found in your blood. So if a particular food has a low glycemic rate, it doesn't convert to sugar in the bloodstream as quickly as a food with a high rate. Now, how can this knowledge be very beneficial to you if you're exercising with a goal to lose weight? If before you exercise, you eat a food or foods with a high glycemic rate, and I'll discuss specifically soon what some of those foods are, what will happen is that they will convert quickly to glucose. You start working out and your body says, hey, if you want me to keep this up, you've got to give me some more energy. So your body uses that glucose. But is the glucose the only fuel that your body can burn to get energy? Absolutely not. Fat can be stored energy. The key now is to know how to get the body to use our fat and burn that for energy instead of just the glucose. Understanding the glycemic index helps us to answer that. We discussed earlier that foods with a high glycemic index convert sugar or glucose quicker in the bloodstream. What we want to do is to still be able to get energy from the carbohydrates, but if we get them to convert to glucose slower, the body's going to say, hey, I need some more energy to keep up with you. It starts looking for more glucose. But because we ate a food or foods with a low glycemic rate, the body now says, hey, we're out of glucose. Give me some of that fat. And now it burns the fat. Ta-da! Isn't that interesting? So let me share with you some foods that have a high glycemic index and some that are low on the glycemic index. Foods that convert slowly, ones you want to eat if you're going to have some carbohydrates before you work out, are foods like apples, oranges, maybe sweet potatoes, oats, brown rice, whole wheat bread, and soybeans, just to name a few. Foods with a high glycemic rate are bananas, white potatoes, raisins, white rice or white flour, honey, and even carrots. So don't forget this if you want to lose weight when you're ready for your next workout. If you want to find out what the glycemic index ratings are on different foods, you may want to consider searching on the internet. There's also been some studies that support the idea that if you do your cardio or running or aerobic activity in the morning, your body seems to burn fat faster at that time than any other time of the day. Here's another thing to keep in mind about losing fat. You cannot take fat off your body in selected areas. In other words, if you have a pleasantly plump tummy, all the sit-ups in the world won't take the fat off around the tummy. If you have big thighs or a big butt, all the butt and thigh exercises can be done till you're blue in the face, but to use a pun, it still won't work. It is done with diet. Some believe if they lift weights and they use high repetitions with those weights, that will make their muscles more defined. Not. Diet is the way to define muscle. If there is no fat around the muscle, then and only then will the muscle be defined. That's when you'll see it. Lifting weights and the repetitions, high or low, what that's going to do is help build the muscle and tone the muscle. You're only going to be able to see that muscle if you get rid of the fat. What about after your workout? Is there a need to eat? It's important to feed your body and your muscles soon after you work out. It's after your workout that your muscles start to recuperate from the stress that you've just given it. So give it some protein, protein, protein. A good protein shake shortly after your workout would be a good move. Try to get it into your system within, maybe 30 minutes or so after working out if all possible. Remember, protein shakes can taste really good. Make your own concoctions or purchase a pre-made mix. Try it and you'll like it. What about supplements, vitamins, and minerals? For years, I never took them, feeling that I didn't need to because I've maintained a pretty healthy diet, and I did that for many years. But having an open mind has let me see that it's nearly impossible to get all the necessary nutrition from just eating foods. We would have to eat a lot of food to get all that nutrition. So what supplements, vitamins, and minerals should you take? Well, that's a very loaded question. The answer to that question will cover all the bases. What is your lifestyle like? What do you want it to be? And is your goal to lose weight? Is it to lose weight and gain muscle? What are your present eating habits like? Are you pregnant? Do you exercise a lot? These questions and many more need to really be explored if you're to get an accurate handle on what your body will need. For example, if you drink a lot of hot coffee and tea, you might experience a drop in your secretion of digestive fluids, which prevent a proper extraction of vitamins from the foods that you eat. Smokers should increase their vitamin C up to maybe 30 milligrams per cigarette that they smoke. If you're under a lot of stress, you might consider B6 or vitamin C. The list goes on and on. My best recommendation is that you go to a library or a health food store and read up a bit on this. This way, you can help design what may be good for you according to your habits and your lifestyle. I personally take extra vitamin C daily. It's supposed to assist in helping the muscle recover from workouts. I also take what's known as creatine. I take all their minerals or supplements that help block cortisol from breaking down the protein in the muscle. A multi-mineral tablet might be a real good suggestion. Take one in the morning and one at night. Take some time to study what your body needs. Think about it. If you owned a $1 million racehorse, wouldn't you take the very best care of it, making sure it got sufficient rest, proper diet? Would you let people feed it ice cream and donuts and potato chips? The bottom line is that you're worth more than that horse. You deserve to take care of yourself. Well, this is going to conclude our program. I hope you've enjoyed it and that it's helped you on your journey of success for a better, happier, healthier life. One of my goals in this program is to get you to think about your lifestyle and how you can improve it. I hope you have many, many more questions. This will make you curious to keep learning more about how to have a healthier mind and body. Don't forget, it's not the clothes that make us look fat. It's the fat that makes us look fat. So don't stop here. Keep reaching for your goals and never give up. Always remember that dreamers, yes, true dreamers, never sleep with their eyes closed. Sweet dreams.